had some folks out of town this week, and I'm glad that, some of our folks can take a little bit of R&R and so forth. But I'm glad you're here. You're in for a treat here in just a moment. We're going to have Mrs. Johnson in just a moment come and sing, and then right after that, Brother Randy's going to come up, and he will go ahead and preach to us this morning. Open your heart. Be during the song. Be asking God to do something in your heart this morning. He certainly wants to encourage you. I know, listen, I know under the sound of my voice there's some hurting people. I know that. You've conveyed to me this week, and I just think of people who aren't here this morning that are hurting very bad. It's Fran's family, for instance. My heart breaks, okay, for Brother Rick and Debbie. But I even know under the sound of my voice there's some ailments, there's some heartache. And I'm praying with you, but I would ask you, open your heart for what God would have for you this morning, okay? So at this time, Ms. Johnson, won't you come up and sing for us?
As we look around us, all the fields are white, ripened unto harvest, and so swiftly comes the night. Christians must get busy, there is work to do. Here's an urgent task awaiting you. Souls are crying, men are dying. Won't you lead them to the cross? Go and find them, help to win them, win the lost at any cost. Christ, our loving shepherd, went out from the fold, seeking for the stray lamb that was lost in dark and cold. Tender hands of kindness raised him from the ground. Now the little lost one had been found. Check your fold, my Christian. Are the children in? Are there yet some straying lost in blackened fields of sin? You must go and reach them. Go without delay. Soon the shades of night will end the day. Souls are crying, men are dying. Won't you lead them to the cross? Go and find them, help to win them, win the lost at any cost. Go out and win, rescue from sin. Day's almost done, low sinks the sun. Souls are crying, men are dying. Win the lost at any cost.
Okay, thanks. Well, good morning. Thank you, Pastor Sean Weeks and family, for having us in your home. It's a blessing to see them again. We do have a long history. Maybe touch a little bit on that. But we're the Johnsons, and that was the best part of the whole presentation already done. My wife, I used to joke around about when we traveled on with our daughter. She's now 26, but back in the day, folks loved her smile. Folks loved my wife singing, and they put up with me. We hope you stop back and see our display, grab a prayer card, and we ask you please pray for us. Our ministry is to New England, raising up an awareness and getting churches involved and rallying together to reach the 1040 window through Bible translation, Bible publishing, training national pastors, and getting churches started in those 66 countries that make up the 1040 window. How many here, the 1040 window is a new term to you? Okay, all right, thank you. I appreciate you being honest. Now, let me explain what that is. If you were to go to the top part of Africa, the western edge, and between the 10-degree latitude line and the 40-degree latitude line, and just make a box or a rectangle all the way across the world on that side going east, all the way to get to the Philippines and Japan. Inside of that triangle, and you can see this back on our display, are 66 countries where 3.5 billion people live, and 97% of the unreached people groups of the world reside. 97% of the people in the world who have never heard the gospel before and do not have the word of God in their language live inside that triangle, or that rectangle. Algebra and geometry always confuse me. So we have some brochures back there besides the prayer card, and it says there are information on there. On the back is our website and email, so you could write us if you like. We have some pamphlets that will help you understand these things. One of them is called the 1040 Window 101. Amen? That's that'll give you an explanation what that 1040 window is about. We have one called It All Begins with the Word. This is explanation of what the First Bible Ministry is about. And it's written by the founder, Dr. Charles Keene. It also lists in there the 1040 window countries in here. And we're asking you to pray for these, that God would send forth laborers into his harvest. We're commanded to pray that. And this is a part of the world that I don't think is getting prayed for, because we're out of touch. We're not connected there somehow. Part of it's because they don't want us there. But they need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Another pamphlet we have is called Praying Through the 1040 Window. And it has a calendar in here with about four different language groups listed on each date. It tells the language name, the country it's in, the religion, and their population. Now realize that there's 6,900 languages in the world. Only 450 have the Bible. 450 out of that many. One young man helped me with that. That's 15% of the world has the Word of God, the whole Bible, printed in their language. Now some others have pieces, parts, but the whole Bible is only in 400 languages. Say, well, how many languages could there be? Let's say in India, we get to my pastor and I'll be taking a survey trip to northeast India in November. In the country of India alone, there's 350 languages in one country. Can you imagine that? If in America we had to be able to speak different languages as you cross borders. I mean, I realize they speak different in New England than this Midwesterner does, but I hope you can understand my accent. I know you have a lot of trouble with my wife, because she's from Minnesota, and they talk like this. I'm only kidding, folks. Relax. You say, well, how big are these tribal languages, and could they really have that big a need there? Well, I do not see a number on here, a population less than, I think the smallest one is 5,318,000. That's a tribal language in India called Banjara. One of the 350 languages in India. And so this calendar is the top 100 unreached people groups. Very helpful in praying. pray that God would put one of these on your heart. You say, well, how in the world could we possibly reach someone like that? How can we help with translation effort? And I asked the same question. Believe me, as God was directing us to become a part of this. But he very quickly put a missionary in my path, our path, one day not too long ago, who was called to what's called the Karen tribe of Burma. Karen, Burma is made up of like 40 different languages. And one of those tribes is called the Karen tribe. He's praying, God, please give us the folks of the Karen tribe and help us to make the right contacts and help us to be able to influence them for the gospel. And he's going soul winning and door knocking in southeast Pennsylvania while he's on deputation just down the street from his home church. And the door opens, and inside that little house was a family of 9 people from Burma, the Karen tribe. Now, that doesn't happen every day, does it? As a matter of fact, I don't remember ever knocking on a door and having Burmese folks answer the door. But God answers prayer. Amen? And here's a man who had a burden for a tribe of people in Burma, and God says, you know what, I'm going to give you some encouragement here. I'm going to give you some people to work with, and he's got to win them to Christ, and now he's discipling them for the Lord, and maybe the Lord will use that family somehow with translation efforts, or maybe to get back in the country, or to send some Bibles back into the country with them as they go back into Burma. Amen? That's how God can do it. You see, it's not the conventional method. We've done conventional method, and we're for that. We're not trying to replace that. We're trying to add to it to reach areas where conventional missionary work cannot be done. You see, those 66 nations, most of them are restricted. Missionary cannot get a visa to go in as a missionary. That's why they are unreached. We have continued for many years to go to countries that are open, and thank God for each one that has gone, and I thank God that we were able to be one of them. We served 6 years in Japan with the U.S. military ministry there. We served in 6 years in the Azores Islands to the Portuguese people. And now God has called us to try to do something about reaching the part of the world that nobody's reaching. It's not that they cannot get in, but many of those places no one's even trying to get in. No one's even trying to get the gospel to these people. But think about it. God has, in turn, brought them to us. We live 50 miles from New York City in Stratford, Connecticut. We're out of White Oak Baptist Church. Pastor Mike Peslak is our pastor. And in New York City alone, there are 130 different language groups living in New York City. Many of them are from the Middle East, India, Bangladesh, Cambodia, Burma, Vietnam, you name it, you can find them. Now, has God allowed that to happen for a reason? Have we thought about that? Has God brought those people here who cannot hear in their homeland, but maybe they could hear the gospel here in America, where it's still legal to pass a tract, where it's still legal to go door to door, where it's still legal to stand on a street corner and approach somebody with a gospel tract, and it is not yet where they come from. So we have a great responsibility to try to reach people who have come to America. They've come to share in the American dream, the rat race, make money, and one day die anyway, right? No, we have a greater privilege here to be American, and that is that we've had the freedom to own and be able to read and to understand the Word of God in our language. Amen? You with me so far? I believe that God has brought these people to America so that they may hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they may come to know the one true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I make no bone about that. People are worshiping anything from a tortoise to a tree. in trying to find peace for their soul. And the Word of God gives us the formula for that. The peace, the Prince of Peace is the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is the one true peace, the everlasting peace that they need. And God has allowed them to come. Maybe one family out of all their relatives back there, but if they get saved while they're in America, they can go back in. This is just one other method by which we can get the gospel into these dark lands before it's eternally too late. Do you believe Jesus is coming soon? Amen. I believe that. And I believe we must do all we can while we can to lessen that number that's going to miss heaven. Though sincere, though very good people, I'm sure, though very religious in some cases, but without Jesus Christ, they will spend an eternity burning in hell forever and ever and ever. Do we really believe that? I think if we really believe that, it'll motivate us to do more, to do what we can while we can. Amen. Now, God has taken us, chosen to take us off the foreign field for several reasons. My wife was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2009. We stayed one more year on the mission field trying to plod through it and get her done and get her well again, but it just was not happening. God was moving us, and He put someone else in our place there in Okinawa, Japan, and we came back with the intention of going back. God did not open that door. We began praying, God, what do You want us to do? We have a heart for missions. We want to do something for You, but it's very difficult to travel back and forth from overseas. Airline tickets to Okinawa, last we checked, were $1,700 a piece. We couldn't fly back and forth very often doing that, obviously. And that's a great expense that we did not want to use God's money for that. And so we began looking, and God put this opportunity before us. And we come to you, New England, to say, let's have a part in doing something for the cause of Christ and getting the Bible translated into these languages that do not have the Word of God. To then help them by publishing them and shipping it to them and helping national pastors and training national pastors so that they may have a church and enjoy fellowship together like we are today. Amen? We may take this for granted. I hope not. We have a great privilege to meet together like this. Great privilege. I've been in some of those countries. I went to Saudi Arabia in the first Gulf War. I was warned personally by my commander, you may take your personal Bible, but if you pass out a tract or a Bible in Saudi Arabia, you will be locked up. And we will wave goodbye to you as we leave, he said. I said, thank you for the love. They're serious about this. And people that get saved in those countries, it's at a great price. But we must do what we can to make that opportunity available to them. Amen? You say, are they all going to get saved? No. Just like in America, they don't all get saved. But at least here we have the opportunity to hear. Because and the only way they get saved is by hearing the Word of God. Amen? Look at John chapter 9. Well, there's so many things I'd like to say. What time are you done here? 2 o'clock, you say? Okay. John chapter 9. I first met your pastor and his wife. They were not married at that time. When we were stationed, we got stationed up in Brunswick, Maine in 1989. So we've known them a long time. He's saying I'm old. But he was alive then, too. Amen. We're not old, we're just older. Amen? Let's stand in honor of God's word. We're going to read verses 17 through 25, John chapter 9. Verse 17 said, "Then they say unto the blind man again." Now let me back up, give you a little preface here. This is a story about a man born blind. Jesus comes along and heals him. And now the man is being badgered by the religious crowd who are jealous of what Jesus is doing. And they've already asked him a couple times, how were thine eyes opened? And verse 17, "Now then, they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, whom you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. For who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Now we ask that you would please meet with us, stir us, Lord, today. Fill me and use me to be a help. Speak through me, Lord. I pray that you'd transfer this truth into each heart. Today, may we realize the great privilege we have to spiritually see. And it's all because we have the Word of God in our hand. I pray that you please do a work in the hearts of each one here today. If someone's come today that does not know you as personal Savior, they do not know 100% sure if they were to die, they would go to heaven. May they put that off no longer. May they settle it once and for all this morning, come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you challenge us, Lord, as your children, those who have been truly saved, may we hear from you. May you speak to us, Lord, and help us to realize that great privilege we have been given, there comes a great responsibility to tell others of the hope that's within us. Please bless, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Have a seat. My message is called Now I See. Now I See. That last line there we read, the former blind man. You imagine what that'd be like to have been blind all those years and all of a sudden you open your eyes and you can see something. You can see the colors around us, as Pastor mentioned this morning, the beauty of the trees. This summer, the beauty of the flowers we've enjoyed, and the green grass and the blue waters and the blue sky and the clouds in the sky. These are the things that blind people never see. Never. It's not a one day of their life thing. It's they've never seen it. You ever try to describe things like that to someone who's blind? How difficult it must be. To have a concept of color and to understand what a tree looks like, and how do you describe the leaves and the branches? How do you describe a face of somebody that you love? But this man was born blind, and when he met Jesus, now he could see. Though he didn't understand truly who Jesus was yet, but he would. He knew now that something was different. He knew, even if no one else believed him, I'm sure his own parents did, but he knew what he was, and he knew now that he could see. This, of course, is a great illustration of the change spiritually that ought to take place. I was once blind spiritually, but now I see. Can you say that with me this morning? Do you know that you know that you've been saved? Has there been a change in your life? Amen? Now, it doesn't all change overnight, but there ought to be some changes going on, and your purpose is different, and your perspective is different, and the ownership is different. I once was my own, now I belong to Him. Amen? Do you really belong to Him? Is he not only your Savior, but now have you allowed Him to be your Lord, the Lord of your life? That doesn't happen at salvation, by the way. I don't believe that. I believe it's a growth thing. As we allow Him to be Lord of our life, He wants to be that. Amen? Now I see. How are thine eyes opened? Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. We know, of course, Jesus was sinless, perfect Son of God. The only way He could pay sin's penalty for us. But we probably didn't understand that before we were saved either, did we? A lot of things that our eyes are opened up to when we get saved because the Holy Spirit of God comes to live in us. And He's our teacher. And He's the one who illuminates things from the Scriptures. And that's why we ought to spend time in this book every single day, because the Holy Spirit of God has some more to teach us. Amen? But He can't teach us if we don't open the book. I once was lost. I like that song, Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You remember back when you were lost, blind, without a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Well, I remember those days. I was very religious. Lost as a goose in a hailstorm. That's really lost. Amen? I used to be so blind before Jesus saved me. I hope you could point to a time and a place where you know you've trusted the Savior. We've got much more message to go to, but this is the most important thing. If you're here today, you cannot point to a time and a place in your mind's eye where you know you settled this matter. You need to do that today. You need to do that today. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. We're not even guaranteed the next hour. I was reminded of that in 2001 when the doctor said to me, "You have cancer." Praise God, He's chosen to still use me. He was not done with me yet. But if you've not faced the prospect of your life soon being over, you may just think, "Well, you know, I'm going to live forever." That's what we think, don't we? We're all going to live to be 90 and die in our sleep peacefully. Right? But that's not the case, friends. You know that as well as I do. We all have loved ones who've gone an untimely death. You're trying to scare me, aren't you, Brother Johnson? Yeah, you betcha. We have a 24-year-old son that's in heaven now, been there 9 years. Heaven's getting real, more real all the time. As you get older, you hopefully have more folks over on the other side waiting for you. Amen? But what's important is that you're prepared to go to the other side. Amen? I once was lost. You know, and somebody won't admit they're lost. They never get saved, of course. I hope that you've done that. I remember I mentioned this in Sunday school, but grew up in a good moral home. There was a nice Bible on the coffee table. It collected obituaries and four-leaf clovers, as I could find them. important things, you know, and it never was cracked open. We never read it as a family or individually. And that's the average home, especially in a lost home. It certainly shouldn't be average in a Christian home. Amen. But that was the case of the Bible on my living room table where I grew up. I used to be blind. I'd like to share a few things I used to be blind to, and maybe you can relate. Before Jesus saved me, I used to be blind to his saving power. Hebrews 7:25 tells us, wherefore he is able also, wherefore he is able also, I had it right first time, to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. He is able, my friend. Who is that you're thinking of today? There's no way they'll ever get saved. My Bible says that he has saving power to save even them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Our God is able to save even the hardest cases. All you have to do is read the book of Acts about the life of Paul, and you can see that. I used to be blind to his saving power. I used to be blind to his saving grace and mercy. In Psalm 86:15, one of my favorite verses, he says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth." But we have a merciful God, my friend. We have a gracious God. We have a long-suffering God. But I was blind to these things before I was saved. I knew nothing about that kind of God. The God that I served was a wrathful God, one who was going to stamp me out if I didn't get right with him at the moment. You go to the confessional booth and hope that you covered everything and that you'd get back to the confessional booth before you died. Used to lay my head down on my sleep. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray my Lord, that my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray my soul, the Lord to take. What kind of prayer is that, friend? Hey, if you get born again, the Lord Jesus Christ saves you, and he keeps you saved, 1 Peter 1:5, and many others. We have a hope that's steadfast and sure, and it's not based on me. It's based on him. Amen. His saving work is done. It is finished. But I was blind to that because nobody had told me yet about his saving grace and mercy. I was blind. I used to be blind to the forgiveness that was available. In Acts 26:18, it tells us the purpose of Paul's ministry was to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. What does a missionary go around the world for anyway? It is that they may receive forgiveness of sins through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's tree. They must hear about it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without hearing that, they'll never be saved. They'll never get to heaven. It doesn't matter how many times they spin the prayer wheel in the Buddhist temple. It won't matter how many prayer requests they pin on the back of the tortoise in Thailand. It won't matter how many trees they worship. Unless they trust Jesus Christ as Savior, they will not have that forgiveness of sins. And without the forgiveness of sins, we cannot get into heaven. I used to be blind to this. And much of the world is still blind as well. I used to be blind to his willingness to pay my sin penalty. I thought I had to earn it. I thought I had to work for it. I thought I had to be good enough. I thought I had to go to church another time. I had to go to the confessional. I had to do this. I had to do that. Whatever. Do. It's all on who? All on ourselves? What kind of God is that? I used to be blind to his willingness to pay my sin penalty. Many verses talk about this, but it tells us in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You hear anything in there about our good works? I hear plenty about it not being of works. Amen. Ephesians 2:8-9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I used to be blind to the free gift of God, I just mentioned, it's by grace, His grace through faith. When we put our faith and trust in Him, He has promised us He'll save us. He'll forgive us our sins. He'll wash away all our sins, past, present, future. See, I just can't understand it. That's okay. If you could figure out this God, then you'd be as smart as Him, and we're not. Amen? We are His creation. He is our God. I used to be blind to these things. I used to be blind to His ability to keep me saved and to keep me in His care. 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul reminds Timothy there, For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Speaking of that day of salvation, you see, God is able to keep you saved, my friend. If you could fall from grace, if you could lose your salvation, you didn't get eternal life. You got temporary life, and you better get saved, my friend. You need to have eternal life to get into heaven. Amen. I used to be blind to His ability to keep me saved. As I mentioned, 1 Peter 1:5, that we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. It is God that saves us, and it's God that keeps us saved. Praise God. You say, well, that gives you liberty to do what you want. I don't think so. You see, when I got saved, the Holy Spirit of God moved in here in my heart, and He's been my guide through the days. And when I step out of bounds, He gently boots me. Says, I don't want you going there. And if we're listening, we'll hear that still small voice that says, you ought not be doing this. You ought not say that. You ought not go here. Here's a straight and narrow. Stay on this path right here. Amen? So if we will listen, He'll answer. He'll show us the way. Now, if you don't have that evidence, that means you're not of His. The Bible says you have not the Spirit of God, you're none of His. So evidence that you're saved is that fact that you get under conviction about doing the wrong thing, whereas you used to do the wrong thing, it didn't bother you. Amen. I used to be a sailor. Hello. There was plenty of opportunities to do wrong. But when I got saved, all of a sudden doing wrong wasn't fun anymore. And the Holy Spirit made me feel real bad. Thank you, Lord. Probably saved me from a life of misery. Well, I thank God for those restrictions. I thank God for His guidance. Amen. I thank God for those rules. I've missed out on all kinds of wickedness and unhappiness. Praise the Lord. But if I hadn't gotten saved, I'd still be blind to all that. And I'd be scratching my head with the rest of the world saying, I don't understand why this happens to me. That's because they're blind. As I used to be. I used to be blind to the power of the gospel. You know, Paul wrote to the Roman church in chapter 1, verse 16, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To everyone that believeth. It's the power of God. But I was blind to that. And at first I closed my ears to it. Remember those days? I had soul winners chasing me up and down the hallways, trying to give me gospel tracts. But it wasn't until I was willing to listen that it did any good. And I remained in my blindness until I opened my heart and my ears and heard the gospel. Amen? I used to be blind to the understanding of the scriptures. I remember being challenged to prove my faith from the Bible by that young lady here down here. I said, no problem. I'm going to prove you wrong. Using a Bible? How foolish I was to think that I could prove God wrong using His book. That shows you the depravity of man. Before we're saved, friends, we are so disillusioned. And I set out to prove her wrong. See, I believed, I was naive enough to believe that what I believed was in the book somewhere. I just didn't know how to find it. And it may be that your lost loved one feels the same way. They just don't know where it is. They believe it's in there. They believe what they believe is based on what this book says, but they couldn't prove it either. So that's a good challenge for you. Give them a Bible. You can give them a Catholic Bible. Forgive me. But if you have to, you may not get them to accept the King James. But you get them to read something. You say, now prove your faith from that book. And watch them squirm. After a couple months of trying, and that my whole point is this, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of God, the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Why couldn't I figure out the Bible when I was trying to read it? Well, number one, I was lost. I was what the Bible refers to as a natural man, not converted, not saved. And so the Spirit of God was not living in me to teach me the truth. The second problem was I was coming at the Bible. Listen now, here's a problem a lot of folks have. They come with a preconceived opinion. I came at the Bible thinking I'm going to prove my point using a scripture instead of letting the scripture prove itself to me. You see, we need to become conformed to what this says, not conform it to what we think. Amen? Amen. That went over good. Before we say, we can't understand the scriptures. I know that for a fact, because I tried. And there's a gazillion other things, spiritually, that I used to be blind to because I was lost in sin. No hope was there within. No hope. I would talk to folks, they'd say, you know, I know that I'm going to heaven. I'd say, yeah, so do I. But inside, there was no peace in my heart about that. I'd watch them for a while, and I'd say, you know, they have something I don't. When I was finally honest about it. Remember that? Now, one thing is certain with us, friends. We are all blind until He opens our eyes. The turning point was where I finally said, okay, God. Because I'd gone to a couple of chaplains, and I said, now, show me in the Bible where these things are. Why do we do this? Why do we pray this? Why do we confess our sins to a man? On and on and on. And one question after the next was tradition, teaching of the church. That's not in the Bible. Well, the first guy who ushered me out, after the second guy did that, I walked home to my barracks. I said, Lord, what is right? How could so many be fooled? Show me what's right. Oh, God said, did you hear that down there? That guy finally said, show me what's right. Within 12 hours. I was on a flight over the South China Sea, and I'm sitting in my station, and I notice the pilot coming walking to the back of the airplane. He sits down, and he pulls a New Testament out of his leg pocket. Me and God were having this little conversation. I said, he's got a Bible. I'll bet he knows how to answer my questions. You see, that was a turning point. It was close, anyway. First time we met, we didn't get far because I wanted him to show me where these verses were in my Bible that proved my points. We didn't get far that day. The second time, he said, let me show you something real important first. And he took and drew this diagram of man on this side of the cavern God over here on this side, and this deep chasm between with fire in it. He says, here's you. Here's man trying to get to God. And we build this bridge of good works, and it comes short. We build this bridge of confirmation and baptism, and they come short of the glory of God. But here's the only bridge that will make it over. And he drew in that chasm across. He says, you must go the way of the cross to get to heaven. It's the only way. It's through the cross of Christ. You must go through Christ. Because he's the one that paid for it. He's the one that made the way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the spiritual light bulb finally went on in this hard head of mine. I thank God for that. I was once blind, but now I see. I now see, my friend. Do you see? The point is, there's a great part of this world has never heard that presentation, even once. It's not like here in America where you knock, and you present, and you present, and you present, and people reject, and reject, and reject, and reject. And we ought to keep going, and going, and going anyway, and being faithful, because that's our part, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But there are people who have never heard, and they've never had a gospel tract given to them, and they've never had a Bible offered to them, and they don't even have a Bible on their coffee table in which to reject and ignore, like I did. Because there's no Bible. And the devil continues to keep them in blindness. What will we do about that? We can do something about that. Because God would never command us to do anything that he will not enable us to do. He will never command us to do something that's impossible to do. And he commands us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so we have a mandate before us. But he gives us our powers. It tells us in Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So we're to be a witness at the same time to all those places. Praise the Lord. God has a plan. God has a purpose for us, Christian. Are we a part of it? Will you be a part of that? Will you give so that others may hear the wonderful words of life? God's looking down, looking for somebody he could use in that way. Father, help us yield ourselves to you. Allow you to have your perfect will in each of our lives. Lord, through our human vision, this looks like an impossible task. There's much to be done. But through spiritual eyes, we can see we have a great God who's all-powerful and has all the provision we need. You're just looking for laborers. You're just looking for the willing vessel. You're looking for the heart that's tender. The one who say, here am I, use me. Whether it's to go or to give or pray or do all of it, may we be willing. Help us, Lord, to be willing and to step forward and put action to our willingness. Help us to be people of action as we have little time left before you return. Please work in each and every heart this invitation. Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Let me ask you a couple questions this morning. First of all, do you know that you know you're on your way to heaven? You, as a way of testimony, you lift the hand and say, I know that I've been saved. I can see that place in my mind's eye where I trusted Jesus Christ and nothing else. I called upon him and asked him to be my Savior. And you'd say, that's me. I know that today. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Others, you know that you know you're saved, okay? You can put your hands down. Thank you. Maybe you're here today and I appreciate you being honest. If you did not raise your hand, you say, you know, I do not know that. I do not know that. Please lift your hand. I'd like to pray for you. I'll not point you out. I'll not call on you. I'd like to know if there's someone here today. Maybe you're struggling with that. You don't know that you'd go to heaven. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking. Is there someone like that this morning? You say, please pray for me, Brother Johnson. I haven't settled that yet. I haven't settled that yet. I don't know that I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. I'd like to know that. I'd like to know. Is there anyone like that? Just put the hand up. Anyone like that this morning? Christians, we have a great task before us, and we cannot ignore it. It's something that's given to us, and there must be something done. Who'd say this morning, with God's help, I want to have a part in trying to get the gospel to those who have never heard. Please pray for me. That's me this morning, Brother Johnson. Here's my hand. God bless you. Others, God bless you. You see, I want to have a part in that. I want to see, God bless you, sir. I want folks to hear the gospel that I've heard. And while these folks, they may not be our favorites, I admit, we're still fighting a war against a lot of them. But you know what the problem is? It's not anything earthly that we can see. It's a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual problem. They need Christ. Are there others who say, pray for me? I'd like to have a part. I want God to use me to do something about those folks who never heard. Please pray for me. Anyone? God bless you. Amen. Amen. As the music plays...